Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you. Well, good morning, everybody. Hey, if you would remain standing, we're going to read some scripture together. If you've got a copy of the scriptures with you, go to Isaiah chapter 61. If you do not have a Bible, we've got free ones for you in the lobby, or you can download YouVersion app to follow along. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. And during this Advent season, we've got an Advent reading guide. So we have one for families, and we have one for adults that you can use. You can get that on any of our social media platforms or at corechurch.com. You'll find that Advent reading plan that you can go along during this season as we prepare for the birth of Jesus. And I want to encourage you to take the 10-minute challenge that we've been doing this year, and that is 10 minutes. Spend 10 minutes in the Word of God, especially during this Advent season, just to keep yourself focused on the Lord. So we're in this Advent series called Wrapped for Christmas, the swaddled gift. And if that word swaddled gift is strange to you, in Luke chapter 2, we read these words that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And what we've been seeing in this series, and we will continue for the next couple of weeks, is we're looking at the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah was 700 years before Jesus. And he gave probably a good percentage of the prophecies about the coming Messiah, that Jesus was coming. We know Jesus is the Messiah, but the coming Messiah over and over again. And so we've been looking at some of those prophecies and looking at some of the things that that have been said about Jesus coming. And what we're talking about these next few weeks is how Jesus came to wrap us in his strength. He came to wrap us in his comfort, in his grace, and in his love. Next week, we're going to look at grace, and then on our Christmas service on the 21st that I hope you'll be here for, make sure you scan that QR code, invite some people to come with you, because we're going to be talking about being wrapped in the love of Jesus. So today, though, I want to talk to you about being wrapped in comfort, wrapped in God's comfort. So Isaiah chapter 61 is where I am, and I'm only going to read to you one verse, and that is verse 3. This is a fascinating passage of scripture, because Isaiah 61, if you were to go up to the very first verse, which we will not be reading, it might sound familiar to some of you who've been in church, because when Jesus stood up in the synagogue one day, it was his turn to read from the Old Testament as we know it today. And it was open, the scroll was open to Isaiah 61. And Jesus read this in the sanctuary, excuse me, in the synagogue. And in that moment, what he said at the end of it, he said, this has been fulfilled, by the way. I'm the guy that this is talking about. So I want to look at just one part of what Jesus read that day, this old prophecy from Isaiah chapter 61. It says this in verse 3. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair, and in their righteousness they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. Let's pray together as we look into the Word. Holy Spirit, would you just come in these moments that we have together? Would you speak to each one of us? Church, I want to ask you to just begin to pray for the people around you. We all come in here with a heaviness, even in the midst of the joyous Christmas season. We all have hardship and struggles and something that's just eating away at us. It can be a great distraction. So just pray for the people around you, because the Holy Spirit will use you in that moment. As you pray, the Holy Spirit says, here's the reason we pray is because God comes where he's wanted. He says, if you'll ask, I'll come. So that's what we're doing right now. We're asking for him to come. So pray for your own soul in this moment. God, would you speak to me in this moment? What do you want to say to me? We can all walk out of this place filled with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, you can grab a seat. No, not yet. So So Laura and I have this amazing dog. His name is Otis. And a lot of you have heard stories about Otis. He is a Great Dane, so he's a pretty big dog. And in fact, this is a picture of him and Laura. He's huge. No, actually, this is a real picture of him. That's Otis right there. A lot of gray because he's getting ready to turn 9. So by Great Dane standards, that's very old. And so he's an old guy now, but we got him when he was a puppy. And I got him at a casino. True story. I got him at a casino. I had won $200 at the blackjack table. And I was coming out, and then some lady was selling puppies. And I was like, that did not happen. Some of you are like, you took that really? You're like, did he really go to the blackjack? No, that's not true. None of that is true. Well, part of it is true. I actually did pick him up in a casino parking lot, which I thought was kind of strange. When I was sitting in that casino parking lot, I didn't think it was any big deal until it dawned on me. I'm a preacher sitting in a casino parking lot in Shawnee, Oklahoma. If somebody takes a picture of this, it's going to look really bad. So anyway, I pick him up. We bring him home, and he's 6 months old. He's amazing. He's just a phenomenal dog. He loves everybody. But what we didn't know about him is that he has this thing called separation anxiety. Oh, some of you know. I did not know this was a thing. And so here's how we found it out. We left one day, and when we came home that afternoon, we walked in, and we had these beautiful wood blinds. The word had is the key word in this. We had these beautiful wood blinds. And he had shredded them and taken them to the ground. In our family room, in our bedroom, and the back door, all of them laying on the ground. And that's when I discovered he has separation anxiety. I didn't even know it was a thing. I didn't believe in it. I thought, what? This is a joke. You got to be kidding me. And then I looked it up, and what it happens, if you don't know what it is whenever the dog is separated from a human, it gets very anxious, and it can have a panic attack. And we found out that was very true. He would have these panic attacks. One time, we had accidentally left out a 24-roll Charmin toilet paper. And we came home, and he had TP'd the entire house. And that's when I said, we got to do something. So I was researching, trying to find all this stuff. And then I found this thing, and it's called a thunder shirt. Has anybody ever heard of a thunder shirt? Oh, some of you have dogs with separation anxiety. So if you don't know what a thunder shirt is, it's not the Oklahoma City thunder. It's thunder like when the sound of thunder. And you put it on the dog, and it's supposed to calm them. I thought, this is the biggest joke and scam I've ever seen. But at this point, I was willing to try anything. So it had a money-back guarantee, so we bought the thunder shirt, and we brought it home. And what you do is you wrap it around the dog. You literally swaddle the dog, just like you would a baby. And the moment that we put this thunder shirt on him and began to swaddle him, he just completely calmed down. It was the most amazing thing I had ever seen. To show you the power of the thunder shirt, I came home the other day to this. Where has life shaken you? Where are you anxious? Where are you stressed? Where are you overwhelmed in your life right now? Is it work? Like that job that you got to go to later today or tomorrow and you don't like it? You've never liked it. You're trying to get out of it, but you can't get out of it. You got people you're working with that are very, very difficult. I don't know how, and you're just stressed and you're overwhelmed by that. Is it a relationship or a friendship or is it family? Maybe it's family. Maybe it's your marriage is not where you thought it would be right now. It's Christmas time. It's supposed to be joyous and festive, and you're putting on the look for the kids, or maybe now you don't even have kids yet, but you're doing it just to try to pacify one another, and you're miserable and you're frustrated. Or maybe it's a friendship and somebody is said something about you. It was a close friend. It was a good friend. And you're like, why would they? This is my friend. What would they do? Or maybe it's talked about this a little bit last week. Maybe it's finances, and you're like, oh, Merry Christmas. Good luck putting anything under the tree this year. I mean, like right now you're like, hey, can I borrow Otis's Thunder shirt? That would be great. I really like that. It'd be nice right now to have that. Or maybe it's none of those. Maybe it's something in the past. Past pain. Maybe you're like the lady I ran into at the store the other day who lost her husband tragically 7 months ago. And she's going to be spending Christmas all by herself. Maybe you've had a broken relationship with a family member, and this Christmas there's going to be one less person around the tree. They should be there, but they're not there. Maybe it's some trauma from your past, or some abuse, or some hardship, or some difficulty. I don't know what it is, but listen, we all face seasons like this in our life. No one is exempt. There is pain all over this room. I mean, come on, turn to somebody and confess to them, I got pain. I got pain. We've all got pain. And here's the truth about pain. It's easier to bury the pain and the disappointment and try to forget about it. But how many of you know that don't work, right? I mean, why? Because pain's got a memory, right? And it will rear its ugly head at the moment you least expect. I mean, you're just minding your own business and a song comes on and you're right back in that place. Or the weirdest, like a smell. It can be, you have this certain smell. Or a change in the weather, or it's the Christmas season, and you're right back in that place, and that heaviness hits you. Like if that's where you're at, I would like for you to write this down. And if you're new to Core Church, there's some sermon notes in your chair back that you can use today. When life shakes you, Christ wraps you in his comfort. That's the promise of Isaiah 61. In fact, I would just tell you that that's the promise from front to back of the scriptures over and over again, that when life shakes you, Christ wraps you in his comfort. Like, let's go back. Let's listen to the words here of Isaiah. He says this in verse 3, to all who mourn in Israel, he will give what? Say it with me. A crown of beauty for ashes. There's this 1,000-year-old tradition in Korea and Japan that I just learned about called Onji. O-N-G-G-I, Onji. And it's where they make this pottery, and they will place it into this furnace. So when they put it into the furnace, they put it onto a wood fire. Many of the traditions, they'll put it on this wood fire. And when they put it on the wood fire, the ashes will kind of go up into the air and then settle down around the pot. And then they will melt into the pot and form just an amazingly beautiful glaze until it comes out of the fire and it looks like this. This is God's promise. This is what God has for us. This is what it's like to go through the fire and be wrapped in his comfort. When you go through the fire, what he does is he turns something brutal into something beautiful. A beautiful display of his glory, of his presence, his kindness, and his comfort. Even Jesus had to walk through the fire. If you've read anything about the Gospels, you know this. Jesus' life was also filled with pain. He was the Son of God. You would think he would be exempt. Like if anybody's gonna get a pass, it would be Jesus, right? I mean, the cross is bad enough, but he went through incredible hardship in his life. Loss, betrayal, brokenness. I mean, just John the Baptist. If you're new to church, you may not know this, but John the Baptist in the scriptures is Jesus' cousin. And the birth story tells us this, that Elizabeth, his mom, was about 6 months ahead of Mary, which meant that Jesus grew up with his cousin. Anybody here grow up with their cousins? How many got cousins? Yeah, I mean, you know, you're close with your cousins. You love your cousins. There's just something about being cousin close. I mean, it's just amazing to have those cousins. Well, that's what John the Baptist was. And so they grew up together. Friendship, you know, camaraderie. They both go into ministry. And the next thing you know, John gets arrested. And then they execute him. And Jesus suffers loss. Jesus has this inner circle of friends, and you know the story. It's the Easter story that we'll tell here in about 4 months, right? The Easter story of betrayal. 11 guys hung in there. 11 guys were his friends. 11 guys ended up being loyal, but there was one who betrayed him, which ultimately led to people making false accusations about him. Does this sound familiar to anybody in your life? Like, Jesus has walked through the fire before we ever went through the fire. He went before us. And we're going to see here in a moment how he was in the fire with us. This is who our God is. He is in the fire with us. He walks with us through our disappointment, our loss, and all of our hardship. But here's the thing. When Jesus was hung on that cross and he died and they placed him in the grave, praise be to God, that was not the end. Amen? Amen. That was not the end of the story. Amen? Amen? Come on, somebody. That's good news right there. In fact, the book of Acts 2:31 tells us God did not leave him among the dead or to rot in the grave. What does that mean? No. God raised him up in a glorious resurrection. Beauty from ashes. This is what God will do for you. God will not leave you among the dead. Come on, somebody. Amen. He's not going to leave you among the dead. He's not going to leave you in that tragic moment. No, he's going to raise you up in a glorious resurrection. That's why we're here. That's what we're celebrating. This is why Jesus came. Come on, turn to somebody, encourage them, say, this is why our Savior came. This is why our Savior came. Isaiah says this, God wants to bless you, not curse you. Go back to verse 3. He says he wants to give you a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. I know what some of you are thinking right now. How in the world could my pain ever be considered a joyous blessing or festive praise? Explain that one to me. Well, I'd like for you to write this down. Maybe this will help you. It's not about what I walk through, but who's walking through it with me. It's not about what I walk through, but who's walking through it with me. Reminds me of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the Old Testament. Many of you know this story, especially if you grew up in church, but if you're new to church, there was these three men, and it's back in the Old Testament, predates Jesus, and the Hebrew people had been enslaved once again and taken many of them to Babylon, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were enslaved in Babylon. They weren't even in Israel at the time. So they're growing up in Babylon in slavery, and the king has this great idea. He's like, he's so full of himself. He makes this statue, you know, he's like, hey, look how great I am. See how awesome I am? Now I want everybody to bow down because I want to know. Basically, he said, I want everybody to bow to this idol. The reason he did that is he said, I want your loyalty. I want to know that you're loyal to me and no one else. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a couple teenagers, that's what I love about this, three teenagers, they're like, we're not going to bow. They're like, well, you better bow. If you don't bow, you're going to get thrown into the fire. Okay, some of you know the story. You got thrown into that fire over there, heated up that fire, and they're going to kill anybody that doesn't bow. Time comes, they blow the trumpet, and they don't bow. And they said, you need to bow, or we're going to throw you in that furnace. And I love what these guys say in that moment. They go, hey, listen, if you throw us in that furnace, our God will save us. But even if he doesn't, we won't bow. I love that. My God will protect me. My God will save me. I believe he's going to keep me from hardships in my life. But even if he doesn't, I will not quit on him. And I will not bow to anything else. And they don't. And what happens? Some of you know the story, man. They took those three guys, they threw them into the fire, and then they throw them in there, but they ain't burning up. And they're all mesmerized by it, and they look into the fire, and a lot of you know this story. You know where I'm going with it. What? There was a fourth man in the fire, and nothing touched them. They had to go into the fire. They had to go through the fire, but they did not go through the fire alone. Amen to that. You don't go through the fire alone. You are not alone, man. God was wrapping himself around them, protecting them, watching over them. And the scripture tells us this in Daniel chapter 3, verse 27. The fire had not touched them. You're going to go through the fire, but the fire does not have to touch you. That's good news. Somebody say, that's good news. So a couple weeks ago, Laura's mom and Aunt Mary came home from visiting some cousins, and they came home with this fire blanket. And every once in a while, they'll exchange gifts. And one of the cousins, I don't know why, but said, hey, I want to give everybody a fire blanket. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a fire blanket. And so they gave us a fire blanket. And so the way it works is you take it out of this pouch, and then what you do is you open it and you wrap your, if there's a fire, you're going to wrap yourself in this. Now, first thing I was thinking was, we've got one. We're going to do rock, paper, scissors? What are we, how's this going to work? And then I tried it on. Does this possibly come in an XXL? XXXL? This is not that. But the idea, here's the idea, is that you would wrap yourself in this blanket in the midst of a fire, and you would go through the fire, but if you have this blanket on you, you're not going to get burned. Come on, you know where I'm going, right? Like this is who Jesus is. He wraps us in his comfort. We have to go through the fire. But he's right there, and as Daniel, this says in the book of Daniel 3:27, the fire will not touch them. You're going to go through the fire, but when the fire hits you, it is not going to burn you. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. If you've been here for any amount of time, you know that about a decade ago, Laura and I and our family just went through a horrific, horrific tragedy. I won't take time to recount that story, but it was one that I honestly wondered if I could recover from. I knew I would, but I didn't know how. It's such a tragic story that certain people aren't around the tree this year and will never be around the tree again. Pictures have come off the walls and stories are not told. You know, brutal it is when you're like, you want to tell a wonderful Christmas story, a memory, you know those memories you have, you're like, but it's associated with that. And so I remember about a decade ago when we were in the middle of swimming and all of this, and I wasn't sleeping at night, and I remember it was about 3:00 in the morning, and I was like, this is just ridiculous, I'm just going to get up, I don't know what else to do. And so I got up and I went into the bathroom, and I remember going into the bathroom, and I just collapsed on the bathroom floor. And I was just crying out to God, like, you gotta do something. I don't know what to do, and I can't hardly breathe. What's crazy is when I look back on that season and that time, and when I see myself sitting on that bathroom floor, I see the pain. I see the trauma. But I also see the comfort of Jesus. Because what I see is I'm not sitting on that bathroom floor alone. But what I see is Jesus sitting right next to me. It's like he's got his arm around me. He's like, this isn't the way it was supposed to be, Brad. But I got a plan. And if you'll stick with me, this fire will not touch you. You trust in me, I'm going to bring you through to the other side. And praise be to my God that he has brought me through. because he is a faithful, faithful God. When life shakes you, oh, let Christ wrap you in his comfort. Isaiah says when you're going through the fire, you can choose one of two things, festive praise or despair. Oh man, brother and sister, don't choose despair. I don't know why we who call ourselves followers of the way would ever choose despair. Why we would ever be cynical or pessimistic, or why we don't choose optimism in our lives. Why are we not those people? Listen, when you go through the battle, you've got to battle. You've got to battle against the doubts, the fears, the frustration, the abuse, the trauma, the discouragement, the heartache. You got to go to battle against it. You got to go into it in a battle of praise. When I was on that bathroom floor and I couldn't get up, I remember I looked up and on the bathroom counter, praise be to God, Laura had written two words on a sticky note. How many of you know those two words? What are they? Keep moving. Say that with me. Keep moving. Like when life hits you, when you're going, do not stop. You got to move through the pain. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them, you got to keep moving through the pain. Keep moving. Don't get stuck. Start praising him despite the pain. Worship him in the midst of your weeping. Declare his goodness and who he is. Oh, I may not have the answers. I may not know which way to go. I may not know why this is happening. I don't know why I'm stuck here, but praise be to God, there is a fourth man in the fire. He is standing with me. That, my friends, is the joyous blessing that Isaiah is talking about. The joyous blessing is that I am not alone. The joyous blessing is that my Savior has gone before me. And he has made a way through the cross and the glorious resurrection. And though I may be slain, I will rise again. Oh, that's good preaching. You ain't shouting me down enough. Now you will rise again. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Listen to God's promise for those who go through the fire. Verse 3, go back to verse 3. Listen to this. They're going to be like great oaks. They're going to be like great oaks that say it with me, what? The Lord has planted for his own glory. Here's the last thing I want you to write down. Comfort comes when I plant my pain in Christ. Comfort comes when I plant my pain in Christ. A few years ago, I was at a monastery, and I love going to a monastery. I'll probably in January, I'll be at a monastery again. I have these seasons of prayer, and it's just a beautiful place. And by anybody can go to the monastery, by the way. It's not just for preachers. We have a beautiful one out near Lake Fort Gibson. And so on one of these trips, I was there, and they have this really small, beautiful chapel. I think we got a picture of it. Yeah, they have this beautiful chapel. It's really small, intimate, not any bigger than this stage. And I was sitting in there, and I was praying. And as you can see, that they down these small steps, these stone steps, they had a cross with a couple of kneeling altars. And I just was like praying, and I thought, you know, I'm gonna go kneel on one of those altars. So I went down and I kneeled on one of those altars. And when I kneeled on that altar and I looked up at that cross, suddenly I just sensed that God said, you've got something you need to let go of. You're holding on to your pain, Brad. You're holding on to it. And he was right. I was frustrated about something. Something wasn't changing, and it hadn't changed for years. And it was really causing a lot of angst in me. And God said, you got to give it to me. So there in that monastery, I just wrote a prayer. And I placed it by the foot of that cross. And I took a picture of it because how many of you know that you give your pain to God and you take it back? Nobody's ever done that. But you give it to God and then you take it back. And I knew I would. But what God did for me that day was, he said, Brad, you gave it to me. And now anytime I try to take it back, and I do, because I get frustrated, God says, you gave it to me. And you trusted me with it. And you put it in my hands. See, what happens for a lot of us is we plant our pain inside of us. But when you plant pain inside of you, it doesn't grow a mighty oak. You know what it grows? Thorn bushes. Thorns of bitterness, resentment, anger, depression, anxiety, pride, despair, and on and on and on. But when you plant your pain in Christ, Isaiah says it's going to grow into a great oak for his glory. A glorious display of God's faithfulness. A glorious display of his presence, of his kindness, of his restoration, of his healing, of his comfort. So my challenge to you is that when life shakes you, let Christ wrap you in his comfort. We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.